Well, I always try to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you want me to talk about, help some folks out today? Hey, Mike, how you doing there, young man? And so I wanted to look at this one question. And it's a great question. You may know all the answers, but it's always good to refresh it because it's a very important question. And the question is asked by saved people is, why? Why? That was a good question to ask. Why, what, who, where? Great questions. But why does God allow Christians to suffer? That's a great question. And if you've been saved for any length of time, I guarantee it, there'll be some suffering in your lives. I guarantee it. And you know what happens? It's how you handle it. But you know what? Before how you handle it, you want to know is why is God doing it? Once you know the why, the how can be a lot easier. Okay? Amen? So I'm going to cover this question here. Don't be confused with the question that lost people ask. Their question is, if there is a God why does God allow murdering and wars and homeless and starvation and poverty and sickness, floods, all those things? Well, we know that's because of sin. We understand that. But the world does not know God. They're asking that. That's the big question. But for the believer, the saved believer, why does God allow Christians to suffer? And I got four reasons. There may be some more, but I got four reasons, I think, from Scripture that explain it. And it's good to understand these things because when it comes by, a lot of times people have troubles or trials in their life, like this year, they don't understand why they can easily get mad at God or fall away. And that happens a lot today. And we hate to see believers that fall away or get mad at God. Real tough spot to be in, especially if you're younger and have something happen like this. So let's go through these few things that I found in Scripture. This is a great question that can be learned of how and why God deals with his children through suffering. First of all, we must understand nothing happens to a saved child of God that the Lord does not direct himself or allow to happen in their lives. You got to get that. A lot of people get saved and think they're on their own, but God is actually in control of what happens. Jeremiah 10:23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God's in all those things in your life. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Ecclesiastes 11:19, it's obviously wisdom written under men, but there's some truth to be here found here. Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice. Give us some advice to some men here. Young man, in thy youth, notice this, he's young folks, and let the heart cheer thee in the ways of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that all these things God will bring things to judgment. So a lot of times you're young, you're kind of not thinking these things, but God's watching it. I remember I got saved at 25, but between ages of maybe 12 and 25, no doubt I had a conscience of God. That's wherever that age is when you're a kid and you're still a sinner, but when you sin against God, that's where you really got trouble, obviously, or now you can die lost, you end up in hell. But between ages of, say, 12 and 25, I saw things and did things and said things I ain't proud of. And I had no conscience of God at that time because you're a lost person. You know, but what happens? But God watched all those things. So I hope you all got saved young in life, young age, and you naturally led the Lord and avoided a lot of the troubles that could happen 12, 15. That goes through my mind. But God was watching all those things. I really appreciate myself. I think a little more because, man, those things, right, Mike, that I should have been dead or in trouble or whatever all those years. And God was, obviously watching and knew all that. That's a scary thing. You're saved. Now you got the Spirit of God, and you go, oh man, I better be careful what I do because Lord saved me, and I get this word, trying to get some separation, some holiness. But God knew all those things. It's interesting is, think about that. How many billions of people are on the earth currently? How many were? He knows all that stuff. That's an amazing thing. I look at I just updated my phone. I has all my storage of pictures and stuff. I pay 99 cents for more storage. So that one, somewhere up in a little cloud somewhere. I don't get the cloud. So, hey, whatever you figure it out with the cloud. But here, one little guy, all that information can be stored. If man can figure that out, well, God obviously can clearly have all your life monitored. So, number one, God is in charge of all the thing. Now, some folks have falsely thought, this is kind of even in fundamental churches, that if a Christian is sick or suffers in some way, it's always God's punishing that person for sin. Now, I got to be careful of that, you know. I mean, man, you got a pimple. You must be under the wrath of God, you know, all that stuff, whatever, you know. Hey, you know what? That's why if you know these things, hey, let me say something. If God's dealing with you something and he's trying to get you right, you know it. Amen? You know it. Okay? Don't be pointing fingers out unless you really know what you're involved with that. Many of the godliest and clean living saints that ever lived have suffered most of all. Now, let's look at Hebrews 12:6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. Now, the best example this year is Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. It says, of the Jews, that's his own people, right? His own people. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Think about that. Under Jewish law, you couldn't be beat 40 times. Many people died during the scourging. So I figured he was beat 195 times. That's a lot of beating. From his own people. Think about that. That's some suffering going on there. Five times received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. I think he covers that later on. Him dying, he got stoned there, I believe. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. Now, this is a little side note. I think it could have been he was shipwrecked. It says in Pearl's Waters. Maybe that's deep up there. I don't know. Think about that. Maybe when he died, he was up deep there, you know, Leviathan, right? Amen? Maybe he was dealing with that stuff. Now. He's put that in there a night and day I was in the deep. I don't know, but think about that. Think if he's dealing with that deal out there, you know? I don't know. Just says it on there. You can kind of study it out and see whether if it's the deep waters or the deep up there. Calling it a trial. In journeys often in pearls of water, so there he was obviously in some shipwrecks or something, or in the oceans or seas, in pearls of robbers, in pearls of my own countrymen, in pearls by the heathen, in pearls in the city, in pearls of the wilderness, in pearls in the sea, in pearls among false brethren. Amen, that's tough. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Man, he's been in some troubles, amen? I mean, what a Christian going through this year, you know, if you believe that also has to do with sin, he must have been a big sinner. We will answer this first question. If Paul is being disciplined, as someone said he was, he'd be a wicked person. So you can see the Lord clearly is dealing with him in some way. I'm going to tell you what happened to him here. So number one, here are the four biblical things I see as why a God allows Christians to suffer so much. Number one is to show God's grace, to show God's grace. Paul got the answer to these things that I read about just a few verses later. So a lot of times you read the context, God will reveal things to you to try to teach you a few things. So it says, and it says here in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, just a few verses later, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Right after all these things, he also has a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was. Some people say it could have been eyesight, but still a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan maybe got up in a great deed. I don't know. Satan should buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There you are. God's showed Paul our example here in church age after going through all these things. Hey, my grace is sufficient. And if you've been in some troubles, sometimes God's grace, without a doubt. And it says here, finish up, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. So there you have a clear picture that God's grace will take care of it. And it kind of looks at here, remember I covered this in Titus here, chapter 2, I covered 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, kind of the cliff notes of the New Testament. Verse 11, it says, the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, had appeared to all men, teaching us what? The grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously. So it's the grace of God that teaches us. When we have troubles, it's the grace of God that just kind of overshadows these troubles. And if you have troubles, you know that, hey, you know that grace, where sin abound, grace is much more abound. Also, where trials seem to come up and sufferings, grace is abound there too. Paul was a chosen vessel to bring the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the world. He realized that Jesus Christ has to be glorified. He himself could not. So hey, it's God's grace. A lot of times, even a lot of movements, when the leader of that movement dies, they make a hero out of him, right? They make a hero. Oh man, the worst thing to do is, you know, when Martin Luther King got shot, they made a hero. They got a national day for Martin Luther King. They make a hero out of people like that. So he tried to recognize as Jesus Christ being glorified. And the verse here in 20:24 in Acts says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. Well, we know that's our gospel is the gospel of grace gospel. You know, right? You know, but also though that grace overflows when we have trials and sufferings in our life. It's the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an amazing thing. So you know, God allows this for a particular reason. You and I have the true gospel today because God's grace is manifested in and through this faithful apostle. So you know, he's done a lot of things. And I'll show you in a minute that he followed the Lord's example. And we can see the same grace in our modern times. Have you witnessed a good Christian suffer sickness and heartache and tragedy and still maintain a sweet spirit? How about that? Still witnesses, still praises God through sufferings? That's a mature saint. That's, you know, sometimes people get romantic God or bitter. We go to church, but it's that grace of God understanding these things. If you have a suffering, that is the grace of God taking that. Have you ever wondered how to do that? How can someone who has been through so much pain still love God and still praise him? This is done by the grace of God manifested through these individuals. His grace is all we need. It's just right scripture. It's just live Lord by faith. I might have told you the story before, but it's worth repeating because it fits right in. When I was on I got a cruise rewarded to me for doing some business way back. My kids were needing a grasshopper, and we went to the Caribbean. I don't remember one island or place we stopped at. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it was just to go. I can't remember if it was out of Miami or Florida. It doesn't make a difference. During all the stuff we're doing, I brought my Bible. I go, I'm going to go. take a break. My kids were swimming or something. And I went to like the third floor, it was air conditioning. Now I'm overlooking the blue ocean. What a great spot to be. It was all ceramic here. It was inside. The ocean's below. I got me a cup of coffee, put my Bible down, and I said to myself, Lord, speak to me today. I want to hear. I want to hear from God. Show me something today. And I'm praying to myself. Ocean's out here. Cup of coffee here. Have a scripture here. I say, Lord, show me something today. Oh, I want to hear from you. And as I was saying that, I hear behind me, oh God, thank you for this food. Oh God, thank you for my wife. Oh, thank you for my kid. Thank you. And I can hear this guy praying behind me. I'm like, this guy's really, he's not like, Lord, you know, he's really boasting a prayer. So I go, oh, it's probably a believer behind me. Hey, man, you know, I need a cup of coffee, get charged up again here. I'm going to get some coffee. I'll say hello to the believer. So as I turned around and walked past me, here was this guy completely in a wheelchair, a quadriplegic, sitting like out there, and his wife is feeding him. I kind of took a little shock, took a shock, you know. And I kind of went by him, got the coffee, and I came back, and it was Andy. I go, hi, Andy, how you doing? And it just so happened that he also won a trip, was awarded a trip for something, business he did, and he took his family on a trip. But he's a quadriplegic. I said, what happened? Well, he says, I was at a young age. I was 18 years old in the prime of his life, 18, amen? And he was surfing on the East Coast, and apparently when he hit the beach or the wave, whatever it is, he broke his neck. And he woke up in the hospital. An 18-year-old guy goes, hey, guess what? You're quadriplegic. Never move again. Imagine that call. He says, he's telling me a story. He goes, took me, he was like in sticker shock. Imagine wake up saying, you're not going to walk or talk or, you know, anymore. And he said, I thought about it. I could say, oh my God. He goes, Lord, help me with this. Now, speeded ahead 10 years. He was driving around a little cart he had. He met this wife during that process. A nice wife, a beautiful wife. He had a little kid. I don't know any details about that. And she's feeding him on the front end. Probably got to clean him on the back end. Follow what I'm saying? Amen? And he was just praising the Lord. You know what he found out? Praise of God. And his little testimony to me, talking to him, I can't remember where I went. I remember that. So the Lord said, oh yeah, you're praying, Tim? Your lesson right here is behind you here. Right here. I never forgot it. I told that story probably 100 times. Because I see that there. I go, man, I don't, he's just, this kid was happy to have on there. He's just as happy as a clam in high tide. And could only move from the neck down. I guarantee he knows. And what though? He says, later on, Tim, I found out why. Get that? He found, I mean, that's someone that could be you. Hey, 18 years old. Lord, help me. Oh yeah, I will. And he said, that's part of this grace that is supernatural that the world don't get. Amen. Get that? Number one, why people suffer, it shows the grace of God. Number two, it makes you sympathetic with others. A lot of these are crossed over. A Christian's role is to what? Is to live righteously, to witness, and to minister. That's where joy comes from, right? Jesus, others, yourself. How can we minister to one who has a terrible pain or suffering or problems unless we have been through some of that stuff? The Apostle Paul makes it clear in his letter to Corinthians that our sufferings and tribulations make us able to comfort others in times of trouble, even as the Lord has comforted us in times of suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Get that, folks? Hey, if sometimes you go through a tough situation. It might be losing a child or there was a sickness or in your family substance abuse or divorce, anything. And you went, though, when you go through it, you can help minister to others because that there. I can't minister to someone maybe had an abortion because I never done that. Or losing a child. From what I understand, my clients, folks, that's one of the hardest things to deal with is losing a child. Nothing's worse than losing a child. That is tremendous. I had a client just this last Thanksgiving whose son, he was getting married again. His first wife became gay, believe it or not. That's another story. A real successful lawyer. And I met a wife, never married. He's getting married again. They're on his house for Thanksgiving. And at 48, had a heart attack on Thanksgiving Day. That's tough. 48. His kids were there. You know, his mom was there. I mean, it was a big, giant, I mean, she's, I talk to her, she just cries every time he was talking about it. I mean, it's a tough thing to have happen. You know, hey, they had an invitation out for the wedding, matter of fact. I think they got married like in, would have been like, I think the springtime here, whatever, you know. But, you know, all that for naught. I mean, it's a tough thing. She's a believer. She's a believer. And, man, it's, read my Bible more and try. She's trying to, only the Lord can heal some of that. But now, she or maybe you might can minister to people that have that because, you know why? They've experienced it, that comfort other. Now, that verse I read you, again, just look at the next verse over. It explains you the application of that. 2 Corinthians 1:5-7. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also binded by Christ. So obviously, Paul is pointing to Jesus Christ. He suffered unworthily. Amen. See, there's always, you know what though? A real leader leads by example. Amen. Talk about it. You know, the Muslims, oh yeah, tie a bomb on and kill yourself. How about you volunteer first? Always someone else going, right? Amen. Oh yeah, they want to go do something out there. Oh, you know, kamikaze pilots. Go you kamikaze pilot first. Jesus Christ led by our sufferings for our example. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of sufferings, so shall ye also the consolation. The Lord all suffered and is our consolation and our example. So Jesus Christ, for no reason at all, false trial, mock, beaten, scourged by his own brethren, and that's a lot of suffering for no reason at all. Now, this word consolation, define it. It's which comforts or refreshes the spirit, refreshes the mind, supports and strengthens the mind, hope, courage, and the like. That's what we need when we're going through suffering. We don't need someone to tell you might have sinned somewhere, pointing your finger at you sometimes, whatever. You mean, that's the Lord's dealing with that there. We need some refreshment. The Christian that endures the sufferings for the cause of Christ will reap the rewards later. Like, what that guy's going through, all that stuff. Well, God says, hey, hang on. You're looking at temporal. Let's look at the future. Oh, we got it in the Bible here, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Get that? So a lot of times the Lord may put through sufferings, count it to be worthy. Make sure if we're going through suffering, I'm going to get this thing right. You know why? So I can be a testimony to others, glorify to God. You know our reward? I'm not going to say reward down here, but we will in the future. Get that? That's something important to get that stuff. Now, to give you a little application here, my daughter and son-in-law's pastor, Jeffrey Harris, got some books here he wrote, and I got three of them. First three people want to use them, they can take them. But he has, it's called That We May Be to Comfort. Going to be a pastor. Hey, Lord, I'm an introvert. I'm not sure I do people. Help me. Well, he got help. The Lord did a tremendous tragedy in his life. And what he learned? He learned how to comfort others. Testimony. Amen. Pretty good. I guarantee you, take this book. I want to read it. If you don't get a blessing, I'll give your money back. It's free. But he went, though, if you get a blessing, pass somebody else. So I got three copies here. Well, you need one for sure. Because you've already been through, Mike. I'll give you one for sure, okay? Okay? But two other ones here. Just come by here, grab them. take them, pass them, you'll find a blessing, I guarantee it. And there's even some pictures in here, kind of nice. The tragedy, his family, and what went on here. It's pretty interesting. I gave it to Willie, my buddy. He said he was weeping, and I was too. Called the pastor up, and hey, half an hour. Just when you can provide a blessing for other people through a tragedy, through this type of thing, you know what, though? God's glorified, and you see the grace of God, the mercy of God. You find the comfort of God. So you got the grace of God. You got sympathetic to others. Number three, it makes you more like Christ. Makes you more like Christ. God's desire for all his born-again children is to be Christ-like. Amen? Now, obviously, you know, if you have kids, what you want to do, it's kind of a nice privilege of kind of following in your steps. You know, I remember I was walking through I had a big backyard. I'm going to my shed, and I was walking in the snow to my shed. My little son's trying to hop on my stairs, my shoes behind me, you know, trying to hop in dad's shoes, you know. I mean, you know what, though? So Jesus Christ, if we're sons of God, obviously, right, you know, we want to be Christ-like. That's what God ultimately wants us to be. 1 Peter 4:1-4:15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you to is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's an attribute of God, right? And I think in Isaiah 37:17, it says, God is from eternity, and it says that his name is holy, right? So God gets God's name, holy. He is holy. His name, it's Holy Bible. It's God's book. So he's holy. He's telling us to be holy as here. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Pull all, become new. So obviously, we're newly renewed by spiritually, as we read the word, we're trying to renew our minds and be like Christ. God expects us to see a dynamic and definite change in us. That's our part. You know, his part was the birth. Your part is to grow according to his word. He wants to be a potter and us to be the clay, so he can mold us and make us like Christ. The more we are like Christ, the better testimony it is for the lost world, and better example it is for the brethren. I mean, hang around folks. If you like something, whatever it is, go around people that are the best in that craft. If you're like farming, be a good farmer. Him teach you something, right? Whatever you're doing, if you like fishing, learn from professional fishermen. You know, Christians, hang around good Christians. You know why? So you learn from them. Amen? Proverbs 25:4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And how does the finer know the vessel's ready? You know, he dresses up like silver. Think about it. As silver is refined, it's boiled. And what happens is the dross come to the top generally, and the refiner, he kind of takes the dross away. We're being tried through fires a lot of times. And take dross away, get rid of that scum on top. You know the silver is perfect because you can see the reflection in the silver. It's like a mirror. And Jesus Christ is the refiner, and we're, I mean, the person doing it, and we're the silver. We're supposed to reflect him. Guy doing that. That's what God is saying here. You can expect the free gift of salvation and then become disobedient to God, but he can and will get your attention when he wants it. Now, keep that in mind. Sometimes a child of God can be preoccupied with himself and the world, and that the Lord may allow some tribulation to come in to draw him closer to Christ. On the other hand, of course, some are already near to the Lord, but you know what? The Lord is using suffering in their life to, he can take a bad situation and make it good. So that's why I gotta be careful of the judge of someone, but you know, the Lord knows whether that's a rebuke or whether that's just trying to make them better. It says, it is a Psalm 119:71 says, it is a good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So when you come through some kind of suffering, a lot of times, you know what, though? You come through better. Hey, you know what, though? I had a trial, a suffering, and guess what? Hey, I'm better. And guess what? The Lord brought me through it. I got the grace of God. I got the testimony, and you're Christ-like. See, it's all this lot tied together to point to you to be more Christ-like. It says here, peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give unto you. Let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A lot of times, this is a very dangerous spot for a believer. You know why? Oh, this is where you can distrust God, get mad at him, go to an immorality situation or drugs. Hey, there's a fine line there. So that's why it's important to be around believers, support, understand these principles, so when you go through one, you know how to handle it. And the fourth one, in the few minutes I have, it's to make you heavenly-minded. So we got the grace of God, sympathetic towards other through comfort, to make you more Christ-like, and then to make you heavenly-minded. Many times we get caught up in the cares of this world and neglect to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and heavenly things. It's not surprising a lost person would love the world and be enslaved by the flesh, but the born-again, unbought child of God, this happens. It's truly sad when they get sucked in the world. It says in 1 John 2, 15, 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And notice that progression. A lot of times, the lust of the flesh, what happens is when you're young, you know, please that flesh. A lot of young folks, please that flesh, flesh, flesh. And it says, you know what? The lust of the eyes. Get middle age, maybe. I got a couple dollars. I could buy something, buy it. See, the eye see it. And then what happens at the end, later in life? Look what I've done, the pride of life. See, all those are challenging times for the young lad or young lady, for the middle age. And, you know, all of them have their temptation. So you got to be real careful of those things. Sir. That's effect, could affect the believer. So make you heavenly minded. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. What are we doing that keeps us from focusing from things above? It's important that we understand that God will take some affliction in our lives to be able to focus on things above. I remember a guy, a believer, named Earl Cooley, a friend of mine. I met him back in the 80s. And I remember his testimony. Sad testimony, but it's his testimony. He was out in his front yard. I think he had a 3 or 4 year old son, his only son. And he was throwing the ball around with them, and the ball hit something, and it ran out to his neighbor's yard, and his neighbor was pulling the car out and ran him over and crushed him and killed him. He ran there. Can you imagine that? Having your boy die in your arms? That's a pretty sad situation. Unsaved guy. He was devastated. I mean, he was just shaken. That it was such a trial on him. His wife got divorced because of all the, you know, that cost us, not going to unsaved. They're just causing trouble. He had a daughter, older daughter. And his testimony is, I knew my son was going to heaven because he was an innocent little kid, 3, 4 year old kid. And that was able to get him heavenly minded, where he sought the Lord and he got saved. So because of that situation, unsaved, this Earl got saved because, hey, I'm my son. And God took that situation and draw him to himself. That's a tough way of doing it, but hey, you know, it worked. Interesting story, kind of went along this year. Good friend of mine, Earl, he was at my old Baptist church back in the 80s. And the pastor kind of asked him to leave. Why do I want to ask Earl to leave? And what I found out, this is kind of a sad situation, but Kai's right in here. He was living with a girl who wasn't his. He was living with, I go to a house, I called Mr. Cooley. I thought it was his wife. You know, I just assumed it was his wife, but he didn't want to tell me because, you know, I'm just, nice guy, and he tell me. And I go, oh, I didn't know that wasn't his wife. I look down on him, like, hey, you got problems? I'm like, I can help you there, you know? I got my own problems, you know? And what's interesting is you got to get out of the house, you know, situation. You know what the Lord did to him? Back in the 80s, remember Lamont, we had this giant flood one day, rained real bad. And his wife goes, and by the way, the house was his girlfriend's house. And it rained so much that what happened is, oh, get all the water out of the basement. So he went and got pumps and was pumping water in the basement. Because of the pressure on the outside of the house, it caved in. The entire foundation caved in. I guess with the pressure on the outside of the home, right? I didn't know about that, but I found out not that from his mistakes, right? You know? And so they called in two contractors. Back in the 80s, it was like $45,000 to repair that home. That's back in the 80s. And then so they could afford that, or she could afford that. So they called FEMA in. What they did? They condemned the house. Don't call those guys in. So they condemned it. So guess what? He had to leave. Said the Lord may use situation. He got out. She went one way, went the other way. But I'm thinking, well, the Lord got him out of that thing too through a trial and suffering. See how one brought him to the Lord? Good example. One got him out. He called me years later, and he married a Christian gal, and he was the happiest guy I've ever met, talked to. I mean, he's not happy anyways, but I mean, that the Lord just used that situation, get him saved, had a tough situation, used another one, and there he is again. So the Lord does things throughout your life, sufferings and trials, to get you testifying the grace of God, able to comfort others, get closer to the Lord, heavenly minded. Those are things that the Lord will do. And if I had more time, maybe we have a testimony. We're kind of running out of time. But I'm sure, and if you've been saved for any period of time, you've had some troubles. Amen? 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 Y'all, amen? 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 And what though? If it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ as God, you probably wouldn't be here. Amen? So young folks, you're going to have some troubles. I guarantee it. I have mine. The two or three trials I had, honestly, those things made me definitely a better person for the Lord, without a doubt. No doubt about that. It's an amazing thing how those, you know, trials. I know you had some Paul things and Mike and I know and also husband. I get all that. But by understanding these principles, God just gets the glory out of there. So it's important you know these things, be able to pick them out and go, what's the Lord doing here? Hey, you know, and that way you're able to grow. Very important question. And if I know these things, you're able to minister to others. Okay, get that? Questions? Comments? Anything? Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, there's two here. I got two here if you guys want to. It's a good blessing. Guarantee it, right here. Grab one. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity here just to look at your word and see all these truths that can be applied in what you're trying to do in the individual life where you're glorified and they become Christ-like and we're heavenly minded. What an amazing thing. It's amazing how this book is so alive and so true. We thank you for your grace and mercy, and we know that the half hadn't been told yet, we get the glory and go, that's how all those things happen, or that's how the Lord did it there. I guarantee it's going to happen. So thank you for it, Lord. May we be able to remember these things and take in the heart when trials and tribulations and sufferings all come, Father. May we remember these things. What is the Lord trying to do in my life? Praise God. He's still working in the lives today in the life-changing business. We thank you. I pray for our brother Hoffman as he get here soon, and looking forward to open up the Word of God and see what He has for us, Father. May our ears and hearts be open to receive Your Word. And we bless Him, Father, and may we glorify You instead of done here today. In Jesus' name, amen.